Okay, make sure you're in fellowship. Continue on here. In Paul's prayer on behalf of Thessalonians, to stand firm, that God provides him support in this respect. How he does so is through fulfillment of his word and his promises on behalf of believers. The fulfillment comes based on his love for us, and to the aspects of the love is eternal comfort and good hope by grace, as verse 16 has brought out. To be comforted means obviously to enjoy relief from pressures, trials, tribulations, and any other negative aspect regards to what it means to living in a body of flesh and in Satan's world dominated by negative volition. And here the comfort extends for us into phase three, eternal comfort, recognizing that via the rapture, receipt of our new resurrection body in phase three, we will find ultimate relief that will exist and stay with us for all eternity. And part of that comfort is our position in Christ and being the bride of Christ and being engaged in happiness, joy, celebration at the wedding ceremony in phase three as our Lord and Savior is postured and otherwise will be executing his wrath upon this planet in judgment, and the church is not destined to be part of this historical judgment. So point 36, where we left off, page 47 in our notes. In a complete sense, here comfort, eternal comfort, means spending eternity with Christ and God, enjoying all the things in store for us, all those things that will aid and abet us in regards to what it means to be in this new eternal disposition, all those things that will provide complete and absolute happiness and joy in regards to our persons and our outlook and experience in phase three as a source of complete comfort to us. 37, the absence of such negatives as pain, sorrow, death, and further historical judgment is the lot of our eternal comfort as believers living in the church. Those are just primary aspects of relief in regards to our persons. 38, now the phrase good hope that follows is twofold here in regards to his love, eternal comfort, and good hope by grace. The phrase good hope, which is agathos, help us in the Greek, looks to the confidence our eternal disposition is to provide us based on the integrity and character of the Son and Father, based on their attributes, their veracity, and all the other expressions of the attributes on our behalf. And hence, hope looks at confidence. It is not a wishful thinking, but a matter of expectation completely in regards to our eternal disposition. So 39, the term hope means an expectation or a confidence directed towards a person or a promise, different than generally how the meaning is taken in most circles today. 40, the adjective good here that qualifies our hope ties this confidence together with our work and word, which will come up in verse 17. As he goes on to the meat of the prayer, if you will, the comfort and strength in your hearts in every good work and word. Good is used there. So good hope parallels our good work and word. So 41, so to have good hope means we must engage in good work and word. So 40, the adjective, or 41, there is no need for, quote, hope, end quote, in the classic sense in phase three, as all things will be a reality. So as we look at the meaning of hope in this context. In phase three, obviously, we will no longer be living a life by faith. Our expectation becomes reality. 1 Corinthians 13:30 highlights this in so many words. In regards to the triad of characteristics attributed to us as believers, but now abide faith, hope, love. These three to take up residence, to live our life by. But the greatest of these is love. That goes on into all eternity. No longer will we need to have faith in the classic sense of believing what we learn in Bible class and applying in the doctrine and any expectation, because all these things will come to fruition. All these things will become a reality. So hope in the classic sense, obviously, in regards to phase three, is not that which is in view in regards to our hope. So 42, hope here is used figuratively for SG3, for the eternal rewards that will be associated with our eternal comfort. That is designed to adorn the believer, point 42, amplifying the degree of comfort they will experience as reward for being positive, to be delivered from a financial situation. To be delivered is one thing. To be stowed upon with over and beyond in regards to assistance or whatever blessing, obviously magnifies, amplifies the deliverance in and of itself. Hence the same idea. The degree of comfort that we will receive, relief, is magnified or amplified through the reward system. And that's for being positive. That the term hope is used figuratively in this regards. 43, Paul uses this term likewise, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For who is our hope or joy or wreath of exaltation? That is our ultimate reward in phase three, as is associated with being exalted as communicators, is positive volition. Those who are under their charge, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? The hope will then be translated into this reality of reward. Also compare Ephesians 1:18. Where it's used in the same vein. I pray that the eyes of your hearts, having been enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That hope is ultimate vindication under terms of SG3 for those who respond to phase two calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, which further describes the hope. And then Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope laid up for you. So that hope is seen to be, if you will, in a material or form, reserved already. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That can be none other than SG3, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. In verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, looking at reward of this mystery among the Gentiles, the dispensation of the church and all that is associated with that in glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Glory manifested in SG3 is our expectation. So the transition of thought goes, obviously, in both of these cases, to a phase three eternal manifestation of these things. So 44, it is, again, good, as is qualified by that term agathos, because it comes from God, who cannot go back on His word, and has the power to bring to pass all that we look forward to as a part of our phase three hope. The good is sponsored by God's goodness. It is divine in nature. And God's goodness is irreversible. It is completely and totally reliable. We stand upon His immutability and faithfulness to fulfill these things. So it's good hope. It will not be tainted by anything that it would be considered unrighteous in nature, destructive, deterioration, things of this nature, all that's related to RSG3, which is eternal in its existence. It is something that basically we find a greater and greater appreciation in as we go along in eternity. There's your thought to wrap your head around. Every day you get up and you have a greater appreciation for it. It's even more spectacular, if you will. And while originally you get it, usually you get something today, and you know, like a new car or whatever, and what you're after, and oh yeah, that's great today and tomorrow, and then after a while it diminishes, it loses its sheen, its attraction to us, but not SG3. And that tells me that it's designed in such a way by God. As we go into our eternal state, is designed to project us into a blessing that continues to soar to this infinity of reality that we know about God. See, if you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. You think about His immenseness, His goodness, that you can never reach the end of God. But this hope of the SG3 is characterized or is designed in such a way that as we continue to progress in existence in that state, it'll just blow you away. It'll just blow you away. That's about as far as I can take it with my finite mind. See? So it's good hope. Good based on the character and nature of God. So 45, it is a result of application of God's standard of righteousness. How powerful is righteousness? Well, it's what makes God in character, in morality, what He is. Galatians 5:5. And hope stands upon on that principle, on that attribute. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting, eagerly awaiting, for the hope of righteousness. Righteousness is directly associated with our eternal hope, our resurrection. The only reason why people have thoughts, and I'm just as guilty, you know, how can you have fun, you know, in phase three without any kind of sin or whatever thought? Is because of their sin nature. Your sin nature, it restricts us from really having a complete and total appreciation for what we're dealing with here. When you're removed, when we're all ultimately removed from unrighteousness in thoughts and in stimulation, then we'll see truly what righteousness means in terms of blessing, in terms of existing, in terms of joy and happiness and eternal comfort. In regards to our SG3, etc. The angels obviously have had, and do have, the elect angels, a taste of what all this means in glory and existence. We await that So recognize, at least recognize, anything that keeps you from pursuing righteousness, any attitude that somehow, you know, you've got to have the taste of the cosmos, USCA involved in regards to things and having fun, is totally, completely bogus. It's just your SCA messing with you, to put it mildly. See, that somehow you got to have this flesh, you got to have these things, you got to have these feelings in order to truly appreciate them. No, that's what's keeping you down. That's what's making everything all hell around you in regards to your life. 46, Christ guaranteed this aspect of our eternal destiny with his successful ministry. This hope, good hope, which translates into SG3 for us in that regard. Christ guaranteed our share of the inheritance, of the reward, and he is ready to hand it out at the appropriate time. Behold, Christ speaking, I am coming quickly, Revelation 22:12, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. According to what he has done parallels what we will see at the end of verse 17 in every good work and word. So that's tying together the language with respect to what's being stated here. So 47, negative, ignorant believers will not enjoy these eternal benefits to the fullest, as it is set aside for only those that know and apply the doctrines related to phase 3. Only those who do it right will be party to and enjoy the benefits of SG3. Doesn't mean that believers otherwise will not have a capacity to enjoy their eternal life. Yes, they will. But not to the degree, to the extent that those believers who do it right, who are potentially prize winners in the maximum, they will experience no more than we see it in our own life. Now, we can enjoy life in humble means. But you think about having the capacity to have yachts and travel anywhere you want to, anytime you want to, things that beck and call, to have this kind of pleasure, this type of availability to exploit life and all the good things that it has. Well, it's no different in phase 3. See, it's like night and day. So everybody will be acclimated, obviously. It won't be any negative aspect in that sense, regards for those who do not do it right, phase 2. But as far as the prestige, the capacity, if you will, the means to enjoy it, there will be a great difference between believers. So 48, combine. Otherwise, if that wasn't true, I'd shut us down this moment until you go home. I wouldn't be doing this niche if it wasn't for that. You can't be saying that. You don't have to love Jesus any more than that. No, I'm not a fundy. I quit being one of those a long time ago. No, SG3. Obviously, love for Christ has motivation for me. I do love him. And that's why I want to serve him. But what keeps you going day in and day out? SG3 is a big motivator in that regard. Okay, I got that off my chest. 48. Combine eternal comfort and good hope. Reflect the bounty of eternal blessing by virtue of election and glorification. Been wanting to use an old English term for a long time. There I did it. Bounty, see. old school, your grandparents, or how they used to pray at the table and stuff. You know, thank you for our bountiful blessings and all that, you know, the old King James type of stuff. Well, here you go. You want a little King James? I gave you some. To reflect the bounty of eternal blessing by virtue of election and glorification. Eternal comfort is what we've been predestined to enjoy in glory or good hope. See, that's what's being communicated here. 49, the continuous actions of the participles, both in regards to the comfort and good hope, continuous action of the participles denotes God's sustaining power to uphold this doctrine from eternity past to eternity future. Participle denotes continuous action. Continuous action. So his omnipotence. This verse appeals to his omnipotence. It appeals to his veracity. It appeals to his love. And that's explicitly mentioned. See? To know the character and nature of God, to have an appreciation for truly what's being said. So 50, the final phrase, by grace, in charis, denotes the means by which the Godhead has given us, didomi in the Greek, these blessings, is by a system of grace. 51, we do not earn or deserve these things, but they are ours based on God's essence and goodness, his love. 52, even SG3 is based on grace, as the work of Christ on the cross provides us a rapid recovery system, a simple confession to deal with sin in life and engage in divine good. You don't have to do what many religions would have you do otherwise, a genuflecting, and jump through hoops otherwise. Whenever we do fail, we do sin, we have a rapid recovery system, a simple confession, just acknowledgement, just being honest with yourself, see, according to doctrine. And we can get in fellowship. We are spiritual in that condition. And all that we do then lines up in regards to what God provides for us under the principle of divine good. And in addition to that, obviously, God is behind all that we enjoy in life, if you acknowledge him as such, whether you do or not, he's behind it. But to recognize God provides for us. And sometimes, you know, and it's not to disparage hard work, which is a good thing. But some people think that they're at where they're at always because of hard work. I know people that have worked hard their whole lives and still God kept an extremely humble means. Paul? And look what all he put out. Now, there was times he had blessing, but basically he died with clothes on his back. See? So understand, God's behind what we possess, what we do have. He blesses you or he doesn't. You get frustrated because he doesn't bless you and you run out, or you're impatient in regards to waiting on his blessing, you run out and let the cosmos bless you. Doctrine truly is sharper than any two-edged sword, is it not? It splits the hairs right down the middle in regards to one's perception of life, one's approach to life, living the Christian life. 53, that these eternal blessings are based on faith. As we would say, positive volition, it follows that God further provides support for that faith in time. It's by grace. We get into heaven by grace completely. Faith apart from works. And then whatever we do engage in regards to our work in time, obviously, that's by grace. And that God provides all that we need physically and spiritually in order to attain to these things. And the fact that all these eternal blessings are sponsored by positive volition, by our faith, it's necessary for God then to provide support for that faith in time. He doesn't just leave you hanging. 54, this brings the readers to the prayer request itself in verse 17. for the Son and God to, quote, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word, end quote. 55, both the verbs comfort and strengthen, parakaleo, repeated, family words, kai, stairizo, are optative moves that indicate a wish or desire, highlighting volition, determining the fulfillment of the request that he desires or wishes. Doesn't make that happen. That's dependent upon them plugging in or maintaining their own positive volition. Things that are proclaimed in regards to God's promises are designed to be coupled with positive volition in many cases. And without that coupling, then the full realization and maximum impact of it is missed. The very caveat of the comforting and strengthening is seen in the sphere of every good work and word. Case in point. 56, their hearts, which is hey cardia, further reflects upon their souls where volition resides in the soul, to include their conscience. A heart is kind of a comprehensive term in regards to your innermost being. Their conscience here, obviously a good conscience, one that's built on doctrine, and mentality, which is occupation with the divine viewpoint, or as we would say, occupation with Christ, that together reflect what they are spiritually in time. Where your heart's at, that expression denotes where you're at any given point in time. So that obviously falls in line in regards to recognizing volition can change its direction upon any immediate determination to do so. Your heart can go from good to bad immediately, or progressively, or however. 57, this support God provides for believers volitionally for our souls, the right things in order for us to make the correct decisions, mentality and emotionally, is designed to operate here in the sphere of application. That's good work, agathos aragon, and divine viewpoint, that's encompassing the term logos, word. So good work and word, divine viewpoint, application are supposed to go hand in hand. 58, Paul's desire, it should be Paul with apostrophe S there, is that they not be limited here in spiritual support at any level, as it is for every application and aspect of Bible doctrine, which is brought out by your adjective pos. To not ever be lacking, that God provides everything necessary for each application of doctrine, overtly, verbally, and in our thinking, as it's all encompassing here, necessary to produce and bear fruit, divine good production, and hence SG3. So 59, this demands a pursuit of the entire counsel if you're going to cover every good work and word. Demands pursue the entire counsel, that which we refer to as epinosis, and orientation in application across the board. If you're going to maximize, then you can't be objecting to certain doctrines. You, part of that which sets apart the potential prize winner from those who may have truckload of SG3 otherwise, is orientation to the entire council. When you start objecting to doctrine, rationalization, disregard, or whatever, you rob yourself, and you put yourself in a position to distort other aspects of your life, as well as loss of SG3 in that condition. So in every good work and word means you're pursuing the entire counsel. which we are doing as a local church. So 60, having the knowledge to do and speak what is in accord with Scripture is one thing. To have encouragement and fortitude to follow through is another. In addition to that, to sit here in Bible class and hear these things, all right, correctly in fellowship. Yeah, okay. That's good. But now, go out and apply it. Go out and stand firm in it. See, that's another ball game altogether in many cases. Here, you sit here and you hear it in an atmosphere that's designed to maximize your freedom to do so, comfort, and in an unhindered, in an unobjectionable way. Spit it out. You know, it's easy if we can make it. But you go out in the world and you got somebody in your face over it, see. Somebody challenging you, your SCA or others, often that is a whole other ballgame. Then you find out what kind of moxie and fortitude you have doctrinally in regards to following through an application or the sacrifice that it's going to demand to line up with what you hear. So having the knowledge to do and speak what is in accord with Scripture is one thing. To have encouragement and fortitude to follow through is another. All the challenges that comes to us with respect to the doctrine we have. A lot. You got your own STA constantly nagging away at you. The woman that won't show up on the roof, you know, the like dripping water type of scenario, that's your STA. Then all the other people around you that are vying for your attention over doctrine. So 61, to apply doctrine in the face of difficulties and opposition first demands that we have a high level of comfort or encouragement. Encouragement goes along with comfort. They're in some senses synonymous. So the fact that God recognizes the condition in which we live in time, with an STA, with a negative volition dominant around us, all the human viewpoints, satanic schemes, cosmic schemes that are on around us. So he recognizes that in order for our positive volition to continue to generate an expression, that we need a high level of comfort. All these pressures. So 62, we need this to deal with everyday pressures as well as the exceptional testings we may face. And he provides us with this comfort. God is a God of all comfort. See, if you're not finding comfort in your life, the problem's not with God. The problem's your own spiritual attitude or approach. He has it for you, but you've got to have your eyes on God. You've got to get them off your sin nature, off your own selfish ambitions. So we need this to deal with everyday pressures, comfort, as well as exceptional testings we may face. 63, secondly, we are strengthened to comfort and strengthen our hearts. Made stronger in faith is the idea there. Through the function of GAP, as well as regular application of Bible doctrine. 64, the more we apply, the stronger we become. To build that spiritual strength, to build that spiritual stamina, comes through application. Often, applications, when you first start making them, they're tough. They can be tough. They wear you down. But over time, through the repetitive discipline of application, it becomes almost second nature. It's no big thing anymore. See, it's like establishing your NPR life. Yeah, sometimes it hurts to get there for some people. Some people it's easier. because of their niche. But for some, it may hurt to get there. But after they make the necessary sacrifices and continue to maintain that, over time, it's just second nature. Wouldn't miss for nothing. Nothing's going to sway me in a negative fashion anymore in this regard. But that takes discipline, see. And obviously a lot of prayer. So the more we apply, the stronger we become. 65, together these things grow our confidence in our salvation and produce for us an eternal weight of glory. As that principle is related for us by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying in regards to the flesh, living in a body of flesh that is in a constant state of ultimate deterioration through the death gene, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You got physical realities, you got spiritual realities that are attributed to our life. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What we endure in regards to living this temporal life in a body of flesh, when we do it right, through the renewal of our inner man, day by day, then we are engaging in divine good production and SG3. And there is no comparison. While it doesn't diminish the pressures that we feel, which are true and real and can be almost devastating at times, it still is no comparison when you get that SG3 in hand. While we look not at the things which are seen, verse 18, but at the things which are not seen, it is a life by faith. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal, as they are manufactured by God. So 66, the comfort here parallels their eternal comfort as they await phase 3. 67, it highlights the spiritual support necessary to have complete confidence in an eternal future as the elect. And he does provide that support. If you're willing to accept it. I add that. 68, it further recognizes the ongoing pressures both externally and internally of the STA and other satanic pressures of negative volition vying for the affection of their volition. Always trying to convince you that your SCA is always trying to convince you it has a better way to do it. You've done enough. You got enough SG3. Alright. You won't say that when you get to the Bema. 69, this is in opposition to the reciprocation of affection, to the love the Son and Father have displayed to free us from these things. When you do disregard embracing God for these things, looking to Him for these things, then all you are doing in reality and in practice is not reciprocating to the love that God has given to you otherwise or expressed to you otherwise. Like I have said in the past, people that refuse to believe that all they're doing is flipping God off in regards to, no thanks, I don't want your gift. They are not willing to reciprocate in affection to God for all He's done for them. So 70, God provides comfort or relief from our testing in many ways, as again, He is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Not some of it. No matter how it comes down, God is ensured through circumstances and situations that you are available to be party to that comfort. No matter how it comes down the pike. See, God's behind it, just like He's behind all authority. So He is a God of all comfort. And again, as I stated, if you're not finding that comfort, then you do not have your eyes focused on the right things. You're not looking for the right things. 71, the strengthening, as they go together, parallels again their good hope. To comfort and strengthen their hearts. Strengthening parallels their good hope. Comfort parallels their eternal comfort. Strengthening parallels their good hope. So 72, only by exercising our positive volition through application and embracing Bible doctrine will the believer gain maximum SG3. You've got to sustain, persevere under positive volition. That means you've got to exercise it. You've got to determine it day in and day out. 73, to do and say the things of Bible doctrine requires God's support in all aspects of our spiritual being and life quest. All that He does in order for our positive volition to survive and to express itself. All the grace. 74, via grace He provides these things realized. If the believer chooses to avail himself of these things, whether or not it's going to be a benefit, again, is determined by whether or not you line up in regards to the caveats or the qualifications necessary in every good work and word. 75, consistency under face-to-face teaching is the leading priority. That's our NPR. To exercise your volition at that level and build up your strength in that level to always be available to the comfort, encouragement, and strength that Bible doctrine is designed in its edification process to build us up. That comes from every Bible class. You never know what class you walk in, and that's exactly the words you need to hear in whatever time in life you're in, whatever you're facing. Understand, God the Holy Spirit is either working in our midst or He's not. I may not know all your problems, I may not know all your testings, but He does. And it's amazing how through the communication of Bible doctrine, pastors and fellowship, these things are addressed at their proper times. As a sheep, I experienced it myself. And then as a pastor, you hear about it. See. So, comfort, strengthening. You come here, I will be your coach to say, yes, hang in there, in so many words. No, you're doing that wrong. Breathe in, breathe out. Whatever, see. Relax. There you go. Take a break. Everybody will be on band for that one. 76, fellowship with adjusted believers is another priority. You're not going to find true comfort and strength and support with negative volition. Cosmic types undermine our resolve to apply. Their interests are not the same as ours. And when you're around them, after a while, it starts rubbing off. And you have that to deal with. See? So, fellowship with like-minded positive volition is a source, a big source of encouragement and comfort and strengthening that God has designed for believers to rely upon and to avail themselves. Facing the test, what you want is the adjusted believer that's there spitting back the doctrine that you need to hear in regards to facing the test. Not some emotional or human viewpoint approach otherwise. When people die, that's, you know, just one of those things. The thing I dread most in regards to family, my own family passing away, is having to be around the emotional fundies that take the situation and make it worse. I want sound doctrinal people that are there and saying, here's the doctrine. Here's your encouragement. See? So you can keep your own emotions at bay. Keep them under control. And keep your eyes focused on the right things. And as Paul says, not like the rest who grieve as if they have no hope. We have hope. You know, at the very least, in regards to at least my family, I don't know anybody in my family that's not a believer. And you can say what you want to say, but they want to do what they want to do. They can be what they want to be. Why don't you hang with them? Hey, I'll see them later. Heck, I'm going to be with them all eternity. I'll get enough of them. Don't worry about it. But I have a priority here. My priority is the application of doctrine in my niche and apply appropriately in that regard. 77, maintaining the filling of the Holy Spirit, i.e. identifying and checking the indwelling STA, is critical to maintaining a focus on application and avoidance of STA disorientation otherwise. And it's the only way that you can engage in divine good. But it's critical, obviously, to stay on top of your sin nature, staying in fellowship, so you have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, also operating on your behalf. 78, obviously, prayer for self and regard to our weaknesses is equally important to establish and maintain a healthy prayer life, to take all things before God in prayer, to get under your SGA, be so depressed, you forget to thank God for things otherwise that He's blessing you with, and to be sensitive to encouragement, being sensitive to the comfort, you know. You're in a pressure situation. Well, then that's when you need to be shooting up prayers. God, provide me with comfort. I need it. Yeah. Show me that encouragement. Let me be sensitive to it. Help me keep my SEL rules so I don't miss it. You know, those kind of prayers, rather than wallowing in your misery. And you may be surprised. And the way that it'll come, sometimes it just, you wouldn't even think of it. Oh, cool. You know. So 79, we are obligated to do those things prescribed by Bible doctrine for them to be designated, quote, good, end quote. If it's not of doctrine, it is not of divine good. At best, it's human good. 80, divine good production is overtly manifested by works and the things we say. 81, the benediction drives home a singular principle not to be missed. You provide the faith, positive volition. God, by grace, will provide all else necessary to support positive volition and enjoy maximum eternal blessing. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.